All right. Well, this isn't exactly a calmer place than where we were before, but we've since traveled to a totally different part of Iceland, different waterfall, and this one we're a lot closer. Well, it's sort of like we're close. We're behind it. We saw this one from the road, miles away. A spectacular drop. But this one, you can actually walk on a trail and stand right behind the thing as it cascades off the rocks above. And I got to say, it is really, really high. You can even go down to water level, where the water is basically ending its descent. And there are people standing there, and whenever it shifts just a little bit, they get completely soaked. I mean, the kind of torrential downpour you would never expect is happening right now, in fact. I have never seen water like this, just the force of it as it comes down and hits the standing water. It's really, words fail me, and of course this is radio, so you can't really see what this looks like, but it's more spectacular than anything I've seen as far as waterfalls go, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's incredible also that it just ends up in a small little creek or tributary that then works its way through the fields and then out to the water. I would expect a big roaring river for this much, but what's causing this tremendous, powerful mist is just the sheer drop, and then this sort of natural cavitation that people have made a trail allows you to get behind it and see it from a whole different perspective.
Yeah, I've never stood behind a waterfall before. This is really amazing. And, you know, we could go down that trail and stand at the actual shoreline where this is hitting. It would be something like we've never experienced in our lives. But I'll tell you, these people walking up now, they're pretty wet. Looks like they thought it was worth it, but they won't be dry anytime soon.
Wow. Yeah, this is a great place, it seems, to test out your waterproof gear and really see if it's as water-resistant as advertised. However, we've brought more light spring attire, not necessarily stuff that's meant for this sort of velocity of water and mist.
Well, you know, I'm wearing a raincoat, but I don't want to sit in the car for a few hours soaking wet either. And I'm also already plenty wet just by standing near it. I'm fine watching the reactions.
Don't forget we're also halfway through the trail. We still have to go around the other side.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Because you promised me that we would not turn back. So, given that you're a man of integrity, I'm assuming we're going to have to go through quite a misty spot over there.
Let me also point out, to get here, we had to walk across a very slippery and steep rocky ledge to get to the smooth part. And as we were walking over, this old woman with a cane, I'm not making this up, this old woman with a cane was making her way back towards where we were coming from. And you stopped to help her get across the rocks. But while you were doing that, you were basically balancing yourself at the edge. And she could have easily fallen into you, and God, I mean, you know, it's not a long way down, but still, it wouldn't be that comfortable.
Well, what she didn't realize was a part of that deal is that if she knocked me in, she was coming too.
Yeah, I don't know if that would have made the trip any more enjoyable. Just,
she looked like she had a lot of padding.
I'm just amazed that somebody with a cane that obviously has trouble walking would go through all that to get over here. That is amazing to me.
Well, it was sort of a hiking cane, not a full cane. I don't know. It was sort of a crossover cane.
Okay.
She seemed midway between, you know, needing something for support and being a bit of an adventure lady.
She did not have a hiking face, all right? She had she looked like she was having tremendous difficulty moving forward. Kudos to her for doing it.
And there were two cameras dangling from her neck, too. But, look, I reached out, I stabilized myself and grabbed her hand. She reached out. I realized that she was going to need help, and I didn't want to just pass her. So,
water is moving closer to us now. We're still up pretty high. But when the wind moves a little bit, all of the water from the waterfall moves towards us, and it just makes this incredible sound. And if you were standing down there, you would be incredibly soaked in just a matter of a few seconds.
Yeah, and that must be the reason for all of this grass and moss and various things. Just, it's so green and lush on the inside of this cavitation, this sort of, it's like a little bell almost, a little inlet, or I don't know how you describe it. It's like it goes in instead of straight down. It's not a sheer drop.
I feel like I'm in a cave.
Yeah, it's almost a cave if it went in any further, but there's you know, hundreds, a couple, you know, maybe a couple, 20, several yards of overhang.
Yeah.
And above us is this material, this tons and tons of living, lush growth that is basically watered by this feature.
Absolutely, yeah. It looks very slippery, too. As it hangs over us. I'm thinking we should go down the hill. In order to walk around the back of this thing, you have to go down a little bit. We're not going down all the way to where the water is hitting. We'll just walk around so that we're directly behind it, and we might actually get some better sound down there as well. So we'll just walk and hopefully not slip.
And our listeners will note that yesterday we were at the top of a waterfall, and we found another waterfall, and we're now at the bottom of a waterfall, and as you said, behind it. And this is just proof of how much we want to be thorough and do the kind of reporting that our listeners expect.
Right, and now we're walking down a rather slippery slope here just to get to the back of this thing. So we're going to focus on getting down safely. Biggest hazard is colliding with other tourists who are taking pictures and don't seem to see anybody else around them. So we're going to wait for them to finish with all their selfies and pictures of people standing against the back of the waterfall, and then we can move forward.
Yeah, it's sort of it's difficult. You have to get people's attention because they get very focused on capturing what they want to get, and you have to sort of remind them.
As you get collided into by someone not looking where they're going.
I'm not paying attention.
No, you're standing still. How are you not paying attention?
Yeah, it wasn't my fault. All right, but it is slippery, and, people get preoccupied, and they kind of lose the sense of gravity, reality of where they're hanging out.
I think they lose sense, period, because I've had more people walk into me and not look where they're going than almost anywhere else I've seen, but you know it's fine. Just as long as people are somewhat careful, I'm going to try and get down to as low as we can get without getting wet. Except now all these tourists decided to do the same thing.
So this is definitely a muddy trail that was not built in any way. It's just sort of come to be the pathway around. So it's gravelly and muddy and really haphazard. There's large stones, sharp.
The water is moving.
Oh man, the wind is changing. Yeah, I guess we're kind of in the eye of the storm here.
We're directly in back of it right now. There's people in front of us going down further. We're not going to do that. They won't be happy when they come back up. I don't think they'll be so soaking wet. That looks like a nice fur that woman is wearing, and that will be ruined, of course. But the water, as you see, is just, and as you might be able to hear, is just hitting at a tremendous velocity in the pool ahead of us. And the reason, you mentioned there should be a river coming out of this. I agree. But actually, this waterfall isn't very wide. It's just coming from a tremendous height. So when the water hits, it's hitting with such force. It sounds like thunder all the time.
And the air mixing with it spreads it. It spreads it wide, and as you said, back towards the walls in here. And just really distributes it widely, and it just doesn't stop.
happening all night. Du säger mer, jag snackar om min etikerade. Du säger mer, jag roar med min etikerade. Du säger mer, jag snackar om min etikerade.
Vill inte mer att det är allt som är kämmet. Vill att det är aldrig inte dörren som skärs. Utan kaffet i hjärtat. Med att det regnet att väga mig nider. Alldeles som kartinet är gärdigt. Jag tror det är sådär. Jag kör vi med en egen malin. Och så är det till igen. Är det kul i kör i elika. Så rappar till neder i lika. Så kattar i rimen som lika. Lik lägga du lägga. Så till och kär att jag tar med. Och lik inte med kör och kyrkintet. Med ägst på toppen. Tack att dräcka mig. Och ta för att ta för mig. Och att gera ekon mig. Så att stoppa mig.
A little calmer. We're in our rental car. Actually, we're driving the rental car back to the rental people as per the agreement that we give the car back when we're done with it. And we're done because we have a flight out of here pretty soon. But wow, Iceland is an awesome country.
It is. It's really been enjoyable. And this was the right way to do. We said it countless times to each other during the trip, but having the freedom to roam around really gave us, an opportunity to get these interesting experiences and have a good vantage at every turn. We're free to linger or speed away from whatever town we choose.
And we had a couple of interesting adventures yesterday. We decided to take another trip on the southern coast and head towards a town called Vik. And since we had the rental car, and we put enough fuel in it in case something happened. We wanted to make sure we had a full tank. We were open to the challenges of driving on Icelandic highways. And what that means is narrow roads, oncoming traffic, occasional sheep, things to look out for. As long as you have all that in your mind, then you're ready to go, and you can pretty much go anywhere you wish. We were driving yesterday for a couple hours, and I raised the point that, I'd like to see something. We're kind of driving on the road, and it was nice, fields and sheep and mountains and things like that, but, it's Iceland. There's got to be something spectacular, and it didn't take long for us to find it.
No, it certainly didn't. The hazards aside, and really there's only one hazard. Somebody pulled out in front of you, and thank God you were paying attention. It was probably a tourist, somebody not paying attention, but it really was either sheep or human sheep. But either way, we got pretty far off on this trip on the coast, on the southern side, but we wanted to see the water. And, we saw both fresh water and the seawater in two remarkable different experiences.
Well, starting with the first one first. I know we recorded a little bit of sound there, and I'm not sure if it survived because we had a misadventure with our recording equipment, not due to the waterfall, which we arrived at, but I think due to some electronic issue. But the point is, we saw this waterfall from the highway. And when I say highway, it's really kind of a small road. We saw it in the distance, and we went down the road, and of course, so did 100 other tourists in buses and things like that. But this one, this waterfall was different.
Yeah, it certainly was. I think that's called the Ring Road. It goes around the entire country.
Route 1.
Yes, and we chose to go the southern way toward Vik, and I can't remember the name. It's a longer name than Sulfoss, which was the other other waterfall, or Gullfoss. There's a lot of foss along the way, but this one, in particular, was smaller than the main attraction. There's a really wide one that you see on all the books and everything, but this one had people turning off, and we went in and basically followed other people. There's a little trailer with coffee and so on, but it's otherwise kind of a free-for-all, but basically a path that approaches on one side and allows visitors to actually go in and behind that waterfall and come out the other end. It really was spectacular.
Yeah, you're kind of inside this this overhang, and the waterfall is in front of you, and it's plummeting into this pond. But the thing is, the wind makes where it falls change. So some people went down a path to be right next to where the water was coming down, but they inevitably got soaked because the wind would change every now and then and come straight down on them. And, I got to tell you, seeing that water hit, it just made the most amazing thunderous sound. It was so incredibly powerful. And we just stood there transfixed for quite a while. But we vowed not to go down there because we didn't want to get soaked. But the waterfall had other plans for us.
Yeah, it's true. The exit side, actually, it appeared a bit mistier. There's dripping and all kinds of stuff coming off the inside or of the overhang that you end up being under when you're behind the waterfall. So we made our way, and it was really a climb. I mean, we did some hiking, and this was it. We went on some jagged, some real crazy rockery that sort of is in the middle of the exit path. And we got to the top. We climbed all these crazy rocks. It was really slippery. A lot of treacherous steps there because it is essentially a river. I mean, it's almost a creek that you're basically like walking through a shallow creek bed with enormous jagged rocks.
Well, okay, can I just say, you say that's treacherous. I say the first part was treacherous, so you need another word to describe this treacherous, because this is treacherous plus. And the only reason I went down the second treacherous part, which, as you say, is like walking down a creek, is because some people walked ahead of us. If I had gone myself, I would have been convinced I was going the wrong way, because it just seemed incredibly foolhardy to be walking down a creek next to a waterfall. But that's apparently what the path entailed. Never in America would you see something like this. But yeah, people were just cheerily walking down this very slippery, creaky path next to a raging waterfall.
Yeah, it really did separate the pathway behind the waterfall. The only reason I I continued, and you know, we didn't go back the way we came. Like, this woman who needed a hand, was that there's a railing, a little like sort of lookout on that side, and other people were exiting that way. So we just kind of went with the flow, forded the river that was coming at us on that side of the path, and then we finally got up to this vantage point.
Yeah, well, that railing you mentioned, there was no railing on the creek. To get to that railing, you had to basically climb up all these slippery rocks with a creek coming down it. It was just, man, every instinct in my body was saying, what the hell's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? But yeah, there was a railing up on top once you finally got through all of that. And then when we got there, I finally felt safe.
Yeah, we were just, a little damp, a little wet, maybe like after coming out of a big rainstorm. But we felt okay.
What could go wrong now?
Yeah, we were safe there, but in fact we weren't. Because, as we said, the winds were moving things around, and right as you were going to unlock and get your camera out on your phone to get this hilarious sign that was basically a guy sliding in mud, because, yeah, it's muddy, and really the railing turned into a rope, and it was just kind of haphazard there, and we were going to get this picture of this guy sliding down a muddy hill, and the winds, they had changed, and, well, we got really wet.
Yeah, right when I was trying to unlock my phone. See, I've been cursed with this. I put an extra long password on my phone just to thwart the security people at airports who might try something funny. But it seems I've been outsmarted by that, because every time I need to do something quickly, I have to enter that unlock phone code. And doing that at a time when you're standing by a waterfall, it was rather unnerving. And the drops of water apparently were hitting keys, so I was getting the wrong password all the time. It was very hard to do. But finally I got it. But unfortunately, right when I got the password, that's when the winds really shifted to a point I didn't see them shift before, and the waterfall got us full on.
Yeah, it was like getting dumped with several buckets of water. And I realized this is more than a sprinkle. This is more than a thunder shower. This is half a monsoon in like 5-10 seconds. I just turned around. There's a woman coming up, and she turned around that exit route. So I continued on and just basically followed her out. I said, "You're on your own. Get that picture." And I knew you would. I knew you'd be okay. And I had to get to safety because I didn't want my socks and shoes to be completely soaked. I was okay with being a little wet, but we had chosen not to get wet. But anyway, we got out of there and quickly dried off.
Yeah, but I wanted to get the picture. That's why I stayed behind, because I was determined to get that picture. And once we got hit, I lost my phone locked again, and I had to enter the password. And by that point, I was as wet as I could possibly get, so I figured, you know, I'm going to stay here till I get this picture. I don't care. I can't get any wetter. And it took a little doing, but I got the shot. And, of course, you were down in the more dry area, still soaked to the bone. But boy, that was a picture I really paid for.
True artist. That's the kind of thing you do when you're when you're involved in field production and really capturing the essence of these interesting places. Also a good way to test out the waterproofness of your devices.
So that particular waterfall was just past a town called Hella. And, you know, we thought that Hella would be hella fun, you know, hella active. And it was hella nothing. There was nothing there. We were looking all over the place for some activity, and we were quite disappointed to find there was nothing there. And at that point, we hadn't seen anything that interesting yet other than the scenery. So we were happy to find that waterfall. And even though we were completely soaked to the bone, you know, we knew, based on the bike ride we took back in May, that, yeah, you can get really soaking wet, but you'll dry off. And you'll dry off faster than you think you will. And we did, you know. We got in the car, we were soaking wet, but it was fun. Wouldn't have traded it for anything. And that's the attitude you have to have in Iceland. If you want to chase interesting adventures, you got to pay the price sometimes. You have to make sure that price isn't too high.
And adventure sports and backpacking, hiking, these are all sort of the key activities here in Iceland. So we kind of got pulled in. I mean, it really had that magical way of pulling the adventurer out of you, and it kind of felt good. So we were continuing on, and the next thing we wanted to do,
look at the piles of stones there, at the side of the road. What do you call those?
Cairns.
You want to describe them? They look like statues.
Yes, the cairns are they're a form of talisman or marker of someone having been somewhere. Sometimes they're used to mark trails. But when you see stones stacked that way, you know that I guess another human or a being has been there and created this marker.
What do you mean a being? What, extraterrestrial? Or?
We're in Iceland. There are gnomes and pixies. It's okay to talk about the supernatural here.
We just met somebody who listens to the show here in Iceland. And they're telling us about their family lineage going back to the year 900 or thereabouts. And when you consider, you know, how far back in the States we can trace our lineage, you know, we're lucky if we get to 1900. He's going back to 900. And it's just so incredible. It puts things in real perspective. The history of this place, how long things have been around. And things really have been around for such a long time. So, after we saw the waterfall, we were continuing our voyage towards the town known as Vik, because I think we always knew there wouldn't be much in Vik, since there wasn't much in Hela, but it was about the things you saw on the way and the experiences you had on the way. And I saw a parking lot and a path, and in the distance you could see the water. And I thought, hey, this is the ocean. You know, we're driving near the shore, we should at least see the ocean. And so I said, hey, Kyle, why don't we, we're still a little wet, why don't we take a little hike to see the seaside? And honestly, it seemed like it was just over the horizon, not that far. And, wow, I was wrong. We basically just got out of our car and followed all these people walking down this path. There was no sign for anything. We just assumed there was a path that went to the beach, and people wanted to see the ocean. It kept going on. That was the real problem.
It's true. Yeah, it looked basically like any other boardwalk, but there's no board, and people weren't walking along the beach. They were walking out to the beach, and it was this basically rocky, flat, very otherworldly terrain. Not many like green patches, really nothing, and of course people walking curiously out to the beach, which we said, okay, this is our chance to get out there. And I was curious because I knew that somewhere along that coast were the famous black sand beaches, which I was really interested in at least checking out. And this seemed like the perfect place to access it. So we parked, of course, and made our way.
Go straight on.
Okay, that's all our GPS is going to tell us. We're at a traffic circle. Wow, there's so many traffic circles in this country. And they can be really unnerving, too, because some of them are two-lane traffic circles. And I really don't know if I'm supposed to be in the outer lane or the inner lane. It's very very scary sometimes. Once you master it, which I haven't, it gets easier.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you. I'm scared to death, but I'm trying here. So, yeah, you have to...
At the roundabout, take the third exit onto 41 Reykjensbrout.
I love how she pronounces Icelandic names, too. Sometimes she gets them right, but most of the time, no. Anyway, to understand the scene here at this pathway to the beach, you basically just had... people walking in pairs or groups, and then passing other people walking back, and there wasn't really any exchange. You just silently walking down and silently walking back, and it was just, you know, I was thinking to myself, this is not the kind of thing you would ever see back home, where, you know, people would just walk just to see the beach. And I was amazed by that. I was amazed that everybody would just pull over to the side of the road and take this long hike just to see water that we take for granted everywhere else. And, you know, I kept I kept going on. Hang on. This is really confusing. Straight, right?
I think.
Yeah, well,
I see the airport limits over here.
You see the airport?
Look for rental car return stuff.
Okay.
I didn't put in the rental agency, but okay. There was an option if you want to change.
Oh, we're on the same road. Okay. So anyway, we kept walking, and we kept walking, and we walked beyond what I thought we were going to to walk. There were these little yellow markers in the path, spaced out, and I figured, okay, you know what? This looks like it goes on forever, but I know it doesn't. I'm going to use the same technique I use when I do bike rides, where.
Roundabout, take the third exit.
Where I basically count parts of the pavement and then look up and see how much I've advanced. I was doing the same thing here. I just was counting the yellow things. Figured, okay, I'm going to count 10 of them. Then I'm going to look up and we'll be almost at the beach. And I did that. You know, it took a few minutes to count to 10. It took actually longer than that. I looked up and it didn't look any closer. It wasn't getting any closer, but nobody was complaining. And the people were coming back and they weren't saying, it goes on forever, don't do this, it's not worth it. Everybody was just plodding on and plodding back. So I felt, we got to keep going. We got to keep heading in this direction to see the damn beach, And I did it again. I did it a second time, counted to 10 with the 10 yellow things, and more time went by. And we just kept it up, and it took a long, long time. It took a long time for anything to change.
We had a great conversation, though. Many conversations.
We had a series of conversations because we had the time to do that. Oh, yes, we're almost at the airport. Anyway, to basically wrap this up, we kept walking for a long, long time. I'm talking about, close to an hour of just walking. Thinking you could see the water, but was the water getting any closer? Obviously it was, but how far away was this damn water? I mean, you could see the ocean from the moon, so you don't know how far away you actually are. And then we walked a little bit longer, we kept going, and over the hill, what did we see?
Well, there was a skeleton of a what looked like a crash or some sort of vehicle, and as you got closer, you realized this is a plane, obviously missing some vital components, but it is the shell of a plane that had somehow ended up there.
Yeah, it turned out all these people knew. It turned out all these people knew that there was a wrecked plane there that had crashed in the early 70s, U.S. Navy plane. And we thought everybody was just walking to the beach. They were all walking to see this wrecked airplane. And so when you got to the wrecked airplane, it was pretty surreal. Was I supposed to go down there? Okay. Over here? All right. You can talk to me.
Well, we're very close, yeah.
I guess. Okay, so we'll fill up here.
In 300 meters, turn left onto Quavalio.
Okay, I'm going to just turn here. Hopefully this guy will move forward a little bit. All right.
Convenient, they have a fuel pumps right at the rental return.
Yeah, probably double the price, too, but whatever, so it's okay. We saw this wrecked plane. We walked up to it. It was a very surreal sight, seeing all these tourists, because everywhere you go, there's tourists. All these tourists basically hopping around a wrecked airplane, going inside it, posing, standing on the wing. And the thing is, you could really cut yourself badly. And think about where you were. You just walked an hour. You're in the middle of nowhere. It's like you're standing on the surface of Mars. And you don't want to cut yourself. You don't want to get injured there. There's no supervision of any sort. There's just this plane. No explanation. Why is there a plane here just sitting in the middle of the beach? Everyone's taking pictures and fooling around, and there's graffiti all over the thing. I just can't believe that a wrecked airplane would be left there for over 40 years just so people could take pictures. But that's kind of the way things are done in Iceland. You're on your own, and if you do something stupid, that's on you.
Yeah, it was really frightening the more I thought about it. I had the same reaction, people climbing all over the thing and people just not really, I guess, realizing just how far away from anything they were. If you had any kind of other medical emergency out there, you'd be in a real, real trouble. God forbid cutting yourself on this jagged aluminum. But so we made the obligatory photos and took it in, still not knowing the story at all. It was a complete surprise. So we basically got over that a little bit, and as we were sort of processing, we made our way further, and in fact did see the Black Sand Beach, which I thought was really cool, very different from any other kind of beach. And it really was magical to think that it's the same body of water that we're going to fly over to get back to New York.
Yeah, hopefully. I think that's the route we take. We basically just hung out there for a little while, walked, you know, and the thing is, no one else really walked to see the beach, did they? We were kind of the only ones.
No, we were pioneers, trailblazers, and we knew what the real attraction was.
That's right. I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted now because we're at a gas station where everyone's trying to get to the pumps because they're all returning their rental cars at the same time. And my gas tank is on the left, my side, and the car opposite me is facing the other way. So this, everybody's trying to, like, find space to get in, and it's really kind of a juggling act. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Yeah, we walked to the beach. It was really surreal seeing the black sand on the beach, and... yeah, I'm so glad we did it. But, of course, we had to walk all the way back again, another hour and change. But, boy, it was the kind of experience you never forget.
Yeah, it really was. And, gosh, I really want to come back. I want to explore more. And it was really freeing. We made our way to Vik. Not much going on in Vik. They're still building the hotels and everything, so... we opted to turn around and basically make our way back to Reykjavik just in time for the late night Friday party scene, which we basically got to just in time for a beer and maybe a little bit to eat. Yeah, it was interesting.
Okay, my space is opening up here. It's funny to see people filling up at the gas station outside a car rental place because they're all in a hurry and they're moving really fast because they have planes to catch. So I'm going to get the space, and when the VW pulls out, I'm going to go right in there because I'm next. Hopefully this person figures out how to start his car and gets out of here. So, and then you have to pump the gas.
I will. All right. Well, we'll catch up later.
Hvað var þessi maður áður þegar þú varst lítill? Varstu bara erfiður?
Já,
svona félagslega, skólanum?
Já, ég bara engin athygli. Ég var vanur að ég leit svona, ég horfði alltaf inn á gluggann heima, sko. Sá pappi vera að borða hérna, alltaf vera að hlusta dánafregnir og jarðarfæri og soðinn fiskur, ég hata
þetta er bara mín bernsku
ég veit að
soðinn
fiskur, eiga maður sem fílar ekki fisk
jújú, ekki ef hann á hverjum degi
nei, ég
skilja nema á sunnudum
alltaf sami fiskur
já og pappi sinna, maður á ég það roðið síðan sá maður að svona kúa ég finnst það ekki gott og bara sína að mamma sjáðu þetta, hann að kúa hann kúast maður gara í mandi
já, eins og pappið
já,
roðið
já, og ég lappaði upp stigann mjög hægt opnaði hurðina hana tók á mig skólatöskunni lagði hana svona fram á gang lokaði hérin og sprettaði burt og kom kannski ekkit heimfinnum bara 11 og kvöldið út af því ég vildi vera á hjóla brett
já.
Og ég heyrði alltaf því að koma svona upp guttir alltaf já. Og þá hélt hann úr roðinni
Hún
lima
af roðin að ég sé þetta alveg
ég með roðina
Heyrðu, þetta er gott maður
já, þetta er mjög gott
og það er þaðan Það er þarna sem að tónlistin
sjáum.
Og Mr. Lagi, Mr. Minnistagreit er einmitt um þetta.
Já, hann er um pappa, hann er Mr. Minnistagreit.
Eða, það Júníus meðvænt. Þú gefum þeim fyrir og þakka þeim fyrir.
Jó, takk. Out of the furnace, so far away, I hear people cry. Certified peasants in darkest of days, lilies of the sky. All right, I'm gonna be. All right, it's gonna be. Is it gonna be all right, it's gonna be your home.
Sem talar frá Hamborgarafabrikunni.
Sprengisandur á bylgjunni alla sunnudagsmorgna klukkan 10. Kristján Kristjánsson tekur á móti góðum gestum og stýrir skeleikum umræðum pólitíkina á landsmál.
Við erum sérst að leggja fram áætlun til næstu 5 ára byggt á því að við förum hér áfram inn í lengsta samfellda hagvaxtarskeið lýðveldisögunnar.
Og við erum í fjármálaáætlun sem er ekki að gera ráð fyrir því að Landspítalinn geti staðið undir öllu því sem við ætlum að leggja á hann.
Sættum okkur við það að senda fólk úr landi í miklu dýrara úrræði.
Ekki missa einum helsta þjóðmálaþætti landsins á sunnudagsmorgun klukkan 10 hér á Bylgjunni.
Á lífsins leið má alltaf búast við slysum eða óhöppum. Fortis fylgir þér alla leið.
Það opið hjá Bílalandi í dag frá klukkan 12 til 16. Gíktu við á risaplani Bílalands að kletta á sér 2 eða finnur nýjan notaðan bíl á bílaland.is.
Demantur segir allt. Íslensk hönnun og smíði. Jón og Óskars. Laugavegi, Kringlunni og Smáralund. Sérfræðingar í demantum.
Munið vinsælu gjafabrefin. Opið alla helgina. Veiðihornið, Síðumúla 8.
Veiðiflugur.is.
Það ekki að virka að vera með einhverjum svona eftirfæðastæla.
Hvað að segja þetta? Ekki langt best að fara bara inn á veiðiflugur.is?
Ekki eftir ermur.
Veiðiflugur.is. Ný vefverslun fyrir þig og flugverðamann.
Nótum þetta.
Komdu í sýningarsal Toyota í Kauptúni í dag. Þar finnur við bíl sem hentar þig fullkomlega. Opið frá klukkan 12 til 16. Toyota Kauptúni.
Byrjaði daginn með glasi af 100% hreinum appelsínusafa frá Flóridana. Dásamlegu safi án allra aukaefna. Flóridana. Lifðu vel.
Carlsberg léttöl kynni Dinosaur Junior í Silfurbergi Hörpu laugardaginn 22. júlí Sena Live.
Engar stund að finna bílastæði. Nægur tími til að kíkja smá í búðir. Opið til klukkan 6 í kvöld. Smáralind. Lifðu smá.
Það skiptir máli hvar hlauparar og hjólreðafólk er með sínar tryggingar. Verum viss að vera vel tryggð í frístundum í sumar. Gerum tryggingar betri. Sjóvá.
Við festum, liggum fyrir, róum okkur og komumst að kjarnanum. Úrt, hluti af stóri heild.
Dagana 22. til 25. júní verður rýmingasala í kaupfélagi Kringlunni vegna flutninga. 40-60% afsláttur. Komdu og gerðu góð kaup.
Þú fær grillkjöti, sósurnar, meðlætið og allt sem þarf fyrir grillveisluna í Netto. Netto, þar sem grillveislan byrjar.
Signature húsgögn kynnis. Takk-frí daga á öllum garðhúsgögnum til 1. júní. Signature húsgögn, Fiskistof 31.
Stór humar. Það er opið í dag, laugardag, til klukkan 3. Fiskikóngurinn, Sogavegi 3.
El Matador, í hátíð.
Mikið úrval af bensín og rafmagnsdráttuvélum. Bíkó. Ég með þetta saman.
Það er opið frá klukkan 12 til 16 í dag. Toyota Kauptúni.
Fréttir fyrir alla og besta tónlistin. Bylgjan.
When I was 6 years old, I broke my leg. I was running from my brother and his friends. He tasted the sweet perfume of the mountain grass I rolled down. I was younger then. Take me back to when I found my heart. Broke it here, made friends and lost through the years. And I've not seen the boring fields and so long.